குஹாஹிதம் ப்ரஹ்மயத்தத் பஞ்சகோஷ விவேகதஹ போத்தும் சக்யம் ததஹ கோஷ பஞ்சகம் ப்ரவிவிக்யதே. As in the second chapter, we had conducted an objective analysis of the universal consciousness being different from the five elements, earth, water, fire, air and ether. In a similar manner, here in this third chapter, an analysis is being conducted to distinguish between the pure consciousness in the individual and the body of the individual, which is constituted of five sheets known as Annamaya, Pranamaya, Manomaya, Vijnanamaya and Anandamaya. The physical, vital, mental, intellectual and causal sheets. The investigation into the real nature of these five sheets will enable one to know that pure consciousness, which is the essential nature of all things, is independent of the five sheets, and the human individual actually is not a bundle of these sheets. Inasmuch as it is possible to know the deepest Atman hidden in the cave of the heart by distinguishing it from the five sheets, we undertake now the task of knowing what these five sheets are. Dehad abhyantarah pranah, pranad abhyantaram manah, tadah karta tado bhokta guhateyam parambala. Cave. You have heard the word cave of the heart being used by people several times. The cave is nothing but a five corridored holy of holies. The names of these corridors being the names of the five sheets. The outermost sheet is the physical body that is visible to the eyes. Internal to the physical body is the vital body, which is made up of prana, the breath, the vital energy. Internal to the vital sheet is the mental sheet, which contains the mind and the senses of knowledge. Internal to the mind is the intellect, which has the consciousness of the doership in actions, kartritva bhavana. We begin to feel we are doing something, we are going, we are sitting, we are such and such. This appropriation of individuality and doership in actions is a function of intellect, which is inseparable from the ego. Internal to the intellect is the causal body. It is also known as Anandamaya Kosha. Karta and Bhokta are the words used here to designate the intellectual sheet and the causal sheet. It is on account of the operation of the causal sheet that you feel happy. And we had occasion to know something about the working of this internal sheet when we studied the first chapter. In the causal sheet, there is a balancing of the property of prakriti, sattva, rajas and tamas. Whereas in the other sheets, there is a disbalance of the property. Some one or the other of the properties of prakriti get accentuated or emphasized in the outer sheets, whereas in the innermost level, causal sheets, they are in a almost equilibrated condition. That is why we feel happy when the causal seed works, especially as we have in deep sleep. The doer is the intellect with the ego, the enjoyer is the causal seed. That's why the two seeds are called karta and bhokta, the doer and enjoyer. The physical body is the product of the essence of the food consumed by the parents, and it is sustained also by the intake of food every day. It is purely material in its nature. It is constituted of a material force, and it is subsequently sustained also by a material force. The physical body is pure matter, it has no consciousness. Inasmuch as it is material, it cannot be identified with the Atman, which is consciousness. This physical sheath is called Annamaya Kosha, that is, the physical encasement. Dehaha sa annamaya an atma, this is not the atma. Because the body was not there before it was born. And it will not be there also when it is cast away. It has a beginning and it has an end. Therefore, it cannot be the atman, which is infinite, which is eternal. The body is perishable. It was caused by certain circumstances, and it also will be destroyed by certain other circumstances. Hence, none of the qualities which you perceive in a physical body can be considered as qualities of the Atman. It is perishable and it is inert. Therefore, this body is not the Atman. Your essential nature is not the physical body. And therefore, description of a person in terms of physical relation is not a correct way of evaluating the person. Purva janman asannai tad janma sampadayet katham bhavi janman asat karma na punji deha sanjitam. There must have been some cause for the production of this body. How did suddenly rise up? And why does it perish? What is the reason? Some forces are at the back of this event. You cannot say that the physical body has suddenly risen into action without any kind of cause whatsoever from behind it. The joys and sorrows of life, which are experienced also through this body, cannot be regarded as effects of nothing. Nothing produces nothing. Do you feel happiness sometimes and grief sometimes, which you experience through this body? How come that you are feeling very comfortable physically, sometimes irking and very grief-stricken physically? The body has not brought anything when it came, and yet it is feeling the pinch of the troubles of life, and sometimes it is also feeling comfortable. So how could there be this effect of feeling through the body unless there is a cause behind it? That is one aspect of the matter. Secondly, through this body we do so many actions. Some are good actions, some are bad actions. Do you mean to say that these actions will not produce any result? Good actions are rewarded, bad actions are punished. Now, where comes the field? Where is the field for the reward of the good actions done through this body, or the field for the suffering of the consequences of bad actions if the body is to cease immediately after death? There is therefore something which is the true individuality of a person whose operation alone can explain how it is that we have various kinds of experiences in this world and also we do good actions, etc. Now, why do you do good actions if the end of the body is also your own end? The end of the body may occur even tomorrow or day after. But people do large philanthropic deeds. They have large projects of welfare of humanity and various other things are contemplated by people. After all, what is the purpose of these welfare projects? If the reward for this action is not to be experienced because of the possible death of the body next day itself. If the body is to be considered as the true identity of the human individual, you cannot explain how the joys and sorrows of life have come upon a particular individual in a particular way, and also how you can account for the results of the good and bad deeds of an individual. There is some continuity of personality before the coming of the body and the going of it. Because of the continuity of the person, prior to the manufacture of this body, you can explain how through this body we can have experiences of various types differing one from the other. One person's experience is different from the experience of another person. Though physically all the bodies are made of the same stuff, the experiences are different. The experiences therefore should not be identified with the physical body. The experiencer is not the body. And also the nature of the experience has to be accounted for. There must be a cause for an effect. The effect is the experience and the cause is not visible. So by argument of inference we conclude that there is something prior to the coming of the body, and because of the necessity to reward actions we are also to conclude that there is something persisting even after the death of the body. All this shows the body is not the Atma.
पूर्वजन्मन्यसन्नैतज्जन्मसम्पादयेत्कथम् आविजन्मन्यसत्कर्मणभुञ्जितेह सञ्चितम्
अकृताभ्यागम एंड कृतनाश आर द टू टर्म्स यूज्ड टू डिस्क्राइब द इनकॉन्ग्रुविटी दैट मे फॉलो इफ द बॉडी इज टू बी आइडेंटिफाइड विद आत्मा बिकॉज द बॉडी has a beginning and an end. And therefore, the experiences of the body will be identical with the time of the rise of the body. How does it follow that a person should have sufferings and undeserved joys, as you may say, suddenly in this life, if there was no cause prior to it? That is called akrata abhyagama, the coming of that which is not deserved. And the going of that which is actually deserved. The result of good actions also will not be rewarded. And the results of actions which you have not done will come upon your head. If there is no prior cause and posterior existence for the person. The person is therefore different from the body.
पूर्णो देह बलम यच्छन् अक्षाणाम यः प्रवर्तकः वायुः प्राणमयो नासावात्मा चैतन्यवर्धनात्.
इंटरनल टू द फिजिकल बॉडी इज द वाइटल शीट नोन एज प्राणमय शरीर. दिस वाइटलिटी इट इज दैट गिव्स स्ट्रेंथ टू द सिस्टम. द एनर्जी दैट यू फील इन युअर सेल्फ इज ड्यू टू द प्राणा moving through the body. The strength of the prana is also the strength of the body. If the prana is weak, the body also will be weak. And it energizes the sense organs. Clarity of vision clarity of audition and clarity and ability of other sense organs also are caused by the energy quantum of the prana, the vitality in us. The extent of vitality that we have in our system will determine the extent of health that we enjoy and the ability that we have, the strength that we have and the life. This vital sheath is the subtle aspect of air, air principle. But this vital sheath or the prana which is inside the physical body also cannot be identified with the Atma, because prana has no consciousness. It is like electric energy. It works, but it does not know that it is working. Even in the state of dream and sleep, the prana is working. But you are not conscious that the prana is working. As you are not conscious of the physical body, so also you are not conscious of the breathing process. Therefore, neither the physical body nor the vital sheath can be regarded as identical with the Atma. What is your essential nature? Not this body, not even the breath. There is something else in you. What is inside the vital sheath then?
Ahantam mamatam dehe gehadau cha karoti yaha kamadyavastaya bhranto rasavatma manovaya.
Mind is internal to the vital sheath. What does the mind do? Full of desires is the mind. Fickle is the mind. It is never stable at any time. The mind will not rest in a single condition continuously for a moment. It is deluded mostly. The mind of a person does not perceive things correctly. It requires a lot of deliberation to understand our perceptions are whether valid or not. Attachment is the nature of the mind. It clings to properties like house, wealth, family, etc. Ines and minus are the essential features of the mental body. It always feels, I am coming, I am doing, I am this and I am that. And also it feels, this is mine, this is not mine. This sense of I, which is egoism, and the sense of mind in respect of things which it considers as its property are the features of the mental body. But the mind is unconscious in the state of deep sleep. Therefore, it cannot be identified with consciousness. There are conditions when the mind is not working at all. In utter delusion, in coma, in swoon, in sleep, even in death itself, the mind does not function, but the person continues. Therefore, even as the physical body and the vital sheath are not to be identified with the pure consciousness, the mind also has to be distinguished from our essential nature, which is pure consciousness. Consciousness is not the body, not the vital breath, not also the mind.
Leena suptau vapur bodhe vyapunyad anakhagraga ichchayopadadirnatma vijnanamaya shabdavadu.
There is a sheath internal to the mind which is called intellectual sheath. While the mind just thinks, the intellect can understand, decide and judge. It is the ratiocinating faculty in us. This also is not the Atma, because it has a beginning and end. It is not perpetually operating in us. In deep sleep, the intellect also is dissolved, as is the case with the mind. Only in waking condition, the mind and the intellect pervade the whole body. We seem to be feeling that this body is me. Right from head to foot, we identify ourselves with this visible shield. On account of the pervasion of the mind and the intellect continuously in the waking condition. But in the deep sleep condition, the intellect also does not work. It ceases. But you do not cease. If in the deep sleep state you cease, you would not wake up next morning. So even when the body ceases and the vital sheath ceases, the mind ceases and the intellect ceases to operate and ceases to be a content of your consciousness, you exist nevertheless in the state of deep sleep. Therefore, intellectual sheath also is not the Atman, it is not consciousness. So we have eliminated four sheaths, the physical, the vital, the mental, the intellectual. All these sheaths, these enclosures of the body, which we hug as virdhya and consider as identical with our own true nature, really speaking, they are not identical with us. They are external coverings, like a shirt or a coat that we put on, which cannot be identified with our own selves. Kartratva karanatva abhyam vikriyeta antarindriyam vijnana manasi antar bahichete parasparam. Mind and the intellect have the similar characteristic of fickleness. You do not go on thinking always anything definitely, nor are you rationally judging things continuously. There is torpidity of thought. There is absence of the function of the mind and the intellect mostly when we are wool-goggling and thinking nothing particular. That is to show that we are existing even without the active operation of these sheaths, which are mental and intellectual. Instrumental is the mind and the agent of action is the intellect. Mind is external to the intellect. Intellect is internal to the mind. They act as internal operator and external instrument. That is the only difference between the intellect and the mind. But actually, as far as their non-conscious nature is concerned, they are identical. They are fine product of matter only. Kachid antarmukha vrittir ananda pratibimba bhav punya bhoge bhoga shantau nidra rupena liyade. Now comes the last one, the causal shift. In this condition, where the causal sheath predominantly operates, as in the case of deep sleep, the vrittis or the psychosis, that is the operations of the psyche, get internalized completely. And externalization of these mental operations ceases. In the waking and the dreaming conditions, the mind operates in an external fashion through the sense organs. But in the state of deep sleep, there is an inwardizing activity taking place of the mind and the intellect. That is, these activities of the mind and the intellect cease completely. They get dissolved, as it were, into their cause. And the rajas and the sattva aspects also are buried in a complete oblivion of everything. Tamas, darkness, and absence of any kind of awareness, which is what we experience in the state of deep sleep. We feel very happy. The reason why we are so happy in the state of deep sleep has been a very intriguing question in psychology, because any amount of empirical answer will not suffice in accounting for the reason why we feel so energized, fresh and relieved when we wake up in the morning. Even a sick person feels a little better early in the morning. A tired person wakes up with energy which was not there earlier, and he would like to sleep and would not like to get up so early. The reason for the happiness is the internalization of the psyche. The inwardness of your activity in the direction of the Atman, that is your real nature, your faculties are nearer to your true nature than they are in the waking and the dreaming stages. You are pulled out of your own self, as it were, in a wrong direction of externality, mostly in the waking state, and you lose your self-identity in the waking condition when you are object conscious. The more are you object conscious, the less are you self-conscious. Therefore, we are very much distracted in the waking condition. We run about here and there in search of a little relief and peace, which we cannot find on account of it being not possible to see happiness outside. It is the condition of the self. There is a temporary cessation of externalized activity of the senses and the mind and the intellect in the state of deep sleep. The psychosis or the mental vrittis seem to be licking the taste, the bliss of the Atman in the state of deep sleep, though unconsciously, as it were. They are dumbfounded. It is as if somebody has given a blow on their cheek and they have lost their consciousness. Nevertheless, they have fallen on the lap of that pure existence, which is the selfhood of all persons. This is the reason why we feel happy when we are in a state of sleep. Happiness is the nature of the self. It cannot be found in anything that is not self. All joy is in you. It is not in anything else. So all the activity of the world externally projected is to be considered as finally futile in the direction of the acquisition of happiness in this world. It is just the pursuing of the will of the wisp, as they call it, water in the mirage. The more you run after the world, the more you will be disappointed, and you will get nothing, not even a husk, finally speaking. The internal settlement of the mind and the intellect in the state of deep sleep identifies your personality for the time being with the true self of yours. You enjoy a bliss that you cannot expect in anything else in this world. This happiness is to be attributed partly due to the good deeds that you performed in the previous birth. If you had been a very bad person, 100%, you can't have even 1 minute happiness in this world. You will be tearing your head, but you will get nothing. But if you feel convinced that there is some happiness in this world, sometimes you feel relieved, and there is an internal joy caused by certain things in the world, you should conclude that you have done some good deeds in the previous birth. That is why you come to the Himalayas and the Ganga and the ashrams and listen to glorious thoughts, instead of going to distracting places where you become worse and worse in your psychic function. When there is satiety or surfeit of experience, when you had enough of things, the senses are exhausted and you collapse, as it were, mentally. In that condition also, negatively you go into your own self. You want nothing at that time. The mind is collapsing due to the fatigue of the activity of sense organs. That is another aspect of the reason why you feel a little relieved when you go nearer to your own self, either by force or by some deliberate effect taking place.
But
unfortunately, even this causal sheath that you experience in the state of deep sleep is not the true self. Because the true self is directly conscious. It is not merely indirectly happy as we have it in the state of deep sleep. The happiness of sleep is negative. You are not conscious of it positively. And also, you are not always in that condition. The causal sheath does not operate always. There is a fraction of the day when you seem to be falling into that particular state of causality, and it has a beginning and an end. There is a beginning for the event of your entering into that causal body, and also there is an end of it when you wake up in the morning. As it has a beginning and an end, it cannot be regarded as eternal, and therefore it is not Atma. It is non-eternal in its nature. So what remains afterwards? Not the physical body, not the vital body, not the mental body, not the intellectual body, not the causal body. What remains? Is there anything in you other than this? Practically, you will find nothing remains. You will feel that when you go on peeling an onion, peels after peels will come out, and inside there is nothing, no pith. It will look as if you have no pith at all, only sheaths are coming out by analysis of non-identity of consciousness and their externality. You peel out all the causal sheath and other sheaths, you will find you don't know what is happening to you. You will be in utter darkness. All things have gone. I have found nothing. This kind of feeling may sometimes temporarily arise in your mind when body has gone, this gone, that gone, everything has gone. Property has gone, money has gone, house has gone, relatives have died. Nobody wants to look at you also. All things have gone. Then I am nothing. People sometimes make a statement, I am nothing. All things have gone, I am nothing. Only breath is remaining. That also is about to go. So you begin to feel sometimes wrongly that when your possession is taken away, you become a zero. As if you are the possessions. You are the possessor. You are not the possession. So why do you say that you are nothing when the possessions are taken away? It is because of the intense attachment to the possessions that you begin to wrongly feel that you are yourself the possession. And when they are taken away, you feel wrongly that you are not there at all. All things have gone. All things have gone. I have gone. I am no more. But it is not so. You will still remain there if everything in the world goes. If the entire solar system goes and all the worlds vanish, you will still be there. Let us see what remains. Hari Om Tat Sat. Jai Jai Krishna Bhagavan.